Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Emily Winicky and I am the Community Engagement Coordinator here at Syracuse University. I would like to begin, as we do with all Syracuse University events, by acknowledging with respect the Onondaga Nation, firekeepers of the Haudenosaunee, the indigenous people on whose ancestral lands Syracuse University now stands. I am joined today by B. Gonzalez, Vice President of Community Engagement and Special Assistant to the Chancellor of Syracuse University, as she will be introducing this morning's speakers. Please join me in welcoming B. Gonzalez.
Good morning, everyone. It's been a while since I was standing in front of this august group on a Thursday morning. Happy spring. Oh, yeah, spring. Remember that? Our tulips are coming up, aren't yours? There you go. Okay, so my job is to introduce two people new to our community who I have had the pleasure of working with since they arrived, because in full disclosure, I'm the president of the stage board. And I can tell you that they bring a lot of energy and creativity to our community, right? But more importantly, they like us. So, and that's all they need is an introduction that they like us, right? But no, I'll give you a little bit more. Jill Anderson has served as managing director of Syracuse Stage since 2016. Previously, Jill spent a decade, as manager of the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center in Waterford, Connecticut. During her tenure, the O'Neill completed a $7 million capital project, doubled its operating budget, and received the 2015 National Medal of Arts and the 2010 Regional Theater Tony Award. She moves stuff, man. Under the O'Neill's aegis, why are you putting SAT words in here? Jill also developed the Baltic Playwrights Conference, a new play development retreat held in Huma, Estonia. Previously, Jill worked in the production office at Washington, D.C.'s Arena Stage and as a stage manager in Minnesota, New Mexico, and Massachusetts. Jill is also an instructor in the Syracuse University Department of Drama. Building on work with high school and college students elsewhere, including a decade-long affiliation with the Kennedy Center's American College Theater Festival. Jill was part of the CNY Business Journal 2017 40 Under 40. If you add up all those years, it doesn't make sense, but that's okay. And has served on numerous local and field-wide funding panels and boards. Jill is also a proud cheesehead. Hailing from Marshfield, Wisconsin, she and her family are proud to call Central New York home. Bob Hupp. Bob is in his third season as the artistic director of Syracuse Stage. While here, he has directed productions of The Three Musketeers. Wasn't that a lot of fun? Did you all see that? Next to Normal and Noises Off. That was a lot of fun. Prior to coming to Syracuse, Bob was the producing artistic director of the Repertory Theater in Little Rock. Bob began his career in New York City with the Jean Cocteau Rep, where he was the managing director for 4 years and the artistic director for 9. Bob has served on the board of directors of the Theater Communications Group and currently serves on the theater panel for the New York State Council on the Arts. Bob also teaches in the Department of Drama at Syracuse University, and he has held faculty positions at Dickinson College, the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, and Hendricks College in Arkansas. Please join me in welcoming Jill and Bob to this podium this morning.
Good morning. Bob and I will tag team this a little bit, so thank you for your welcome, and we'll have a chance with Bob momentarily. We arrived in 2016, both of us, new to these positions, which is pretty unusual in our field that both positions would turn over at the same time. We hadn't worked together before, and I always call it a bit of a professional blind date, and here we are 3 years later. And it's been such a wonderful 3 years of welcome and hospitality from this community. I think I will only speak for myself to say Syracuse, Central New York, is not a part of the world I'd given a whole lot of thought until moving here, and now I am like the disciple, the Pied Piper. I'm out there telling everybody what a great place this is to live. And so thank you for the hospitality and for everything each of you do to make this region as vital and fantastic as it is. We've had the chance to attend a couple of Thursday morning roundtables, so this is a great chance for us to come and be the guest speakers today. I also want to highlight the fact that here we are in a university facility at the warehouse, and use that as an opportunity to talk a little bit about the relationship between Syracuse Stage and Syracuse University, because I know it befuddles many. We are affiliated with, and we're founded by Syracuse University, but are a separate 501c3 legal entity in an incredibly complicated and interwoven relationship, most specifically with the Department of Drama. What that means is, we do need to be out in the community seeking funds through grants, through individual gifts, and I know so many of you here are already subscribers and donors, but that's why we keep ringing your bell. But our professional staff, specifically our production staffs, the carpenters, the costume shop, the lighting teams, everybody like that, and our box office and marketing staff also do those same tasks for the drama department. And so while we are a separate entity, the relationship is really intricate. It gives the chance for people like Bob and me and a lot of our staff to serve as adjuncts in the department. It gives a chance for the students to work side by side with us in internships and just observe and learn from the professionals who are in the room with them. So a really special thing in that relationship. Candidly, it was one of the most appealing parts about applying for these positions when Bob and I did. So another great joy of working at Syracuse Stage. The first year we were here, we walked into a season that was programmed by our predecessors. Of course, many of you know Jeff Woodward and Tim Bond. And that gave us the opportunity in the 16-17 season to get out and meet as many people as we could, to observe what had been in place at Syracuse Stage, what was working well, what we might want to tweak together. The great thing about coming in together is we can look around, and while we have veteran staff and trustees advising us, we can both come in with fresh eyes, neither of us married to exactly how things have been, and dream big. So that first year we added a couple little things you may have noticed. We added a sensory-friendly performance of the holiday show, a special performance. That year it was Mary Poppins, that allowed families with a child or even an adult on the autism spectrum or with sensory processing disorders to come and have a day at the theater that might have otherwise been tough. Keep the house lights up a little bit, change the sound levels a little bit, make sure it's perfectly acceptable to be walking in and out of the theater for children who need iPads as communication devices to use them, train professional staff on site to help those families. That was something we added in 2016 as a bit of a pilot. It has been one of the most successful things that we've tweaked since our arrival, and we've gone on to do that same sensory-friendly idea for the two subsequent holiday shows. And the thing sells out awfully quickly. It's a partnership with Dr. Hank Roan, who runs a program through Golisano for these families. And they've been providing their staff, their therapists, to be on site. So it's actually workers and medical professionals that the children know and already have relationships with. We're really proud of that, launched that first year. In the 17-18 season, we thought, all right, we've got our bearings. We're going to dig in. We undertook, and this room brings back a lot of memories, we undertook an almost 18-month strategic planning and market research process with our full board, with our full staff. That kind of consensus-based planning process hadn't been undertaken in the organization in quite a while. We spent a lot of our time meeting in this very room, just to get out of our own building and have a different atmosphere, and worked together to really craft where the organization was going to be headed in the next 3 to 5 years, and make sure it wasn't Bob and me saying, this is where we're going, but this is where we are going. We also tweaked a few things that year, added a program called Pay What You Will. The first preview of every production, we make sure there are nearly 100 tickets set aside so that folks for whom price is a barrier can show up that day, literally pay whatever they will, pay whatever they can, whether that's nothing or you always dream somebody might throw $100 in the bucket for their ticket, but a chance to make sure that the programming we're doing is available for everybody in the community. That has grown and grown and grown. So the first Wednesday, the first preview of every production, has that pay what you will offering. As we dove into the strategic planning process, we looked at everything within the organization, but I wanted to share with you today where we landed on a couple of key points: mission, vision, core values, right? Really the guiding principles of any organization. First, who we are. That is a bit small, so I will read it to you. Syracuse Stage is the nonprofit professional theater company in residence at Syracuse University. We're nationally recognized for creating stimulating theatrical work that engages Central New York and for our significant contribution to the artistic life of Syracuse University, where we're a vital partner in achieving the educational mission of the university's Department of Drama. I'll point out that slide is one of my favorite moments from Bob's production of Next to Normal in that 17-18 season, so happy to see it here this morning. In fact, in that same season, we produced a play called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. It was really well received by the community. It was an adaptation of a novel. But we got unanticipated national and international press for that production. The play is about a young man on the spectrum. And for the first time, that play, that role, was played by an actor on the spectrum. National news. You might hear that guy's name, Mickey Rowe, again in a few minutes when Bob's at the podium. The mission. We had a mission statement. It was great. It was very long. You want something folks can remember and live with. We landed at this very simple statement. Syracuse Stage tells stories that engage, entertain, and inspire us to see life beyond our own experiences. We think there's room for the things that will delight and entertain. We think there's room for the meaty things that get us thinking and leave us talking in the car for the rest of the ride home. And in all of those ways, we think there's an opportunity to see somebody else's story on stage and think about our own lives just a little bit differently. Here's where we're headed: reimagining what's possible for regional theater through, these adjectives are important to us, active inclusion, innovative outreach, and bold productions. Syracuse Stage shapes the cultural and social vitality of Central New York, enriches the Syracuse University student experience, and fosters change in ourselves, our communities, and our world. There was a long debate among our staff and board about core values. Should they be three simple words: people, passion, curiosity? Or should we go deeper? We have a compromise position. If you can only remember people, passion, curiosity, you've got that. If you want to dig a little deeper, this tells you more about the ideas behind it. That production is A Raisin in the Sun, and one of my favorite moments too is that the young man playing the boy in the play is the child of Bridge Street anchor Tanisha Murphy. So that's RJ Robert in that show. One of the key elements of that planning process was really a focus on increasing our impact in the community, not just doing excellent plays and hoping people come see them and like them, but getting ourselves out of the building, getting ourselves in relationship with the community in ways that we hadn't been in the first year or so that we were here, or just building on the strengths of the organization. One of the key priorities that emerged in that planning process was hiring and finding funding for a new senior staff level position called Director of Community Engagement and Education. Everybody in the organization has great networks and webs, but not a lot of bandwidth. And so by creating this position, we've got one person who's running with the ball, corralling all of the rest of us, so we're all heading out. But I'm delighted that we were able to fund that position, conducted a national search, and this fall welcomed a woman named Joanne Yarrow from Miami, who has already gotten into pockets of Central New York that we have not been in years. One of the other areas of focus is getting outside of our building, not just mornings like this, but also doing theatrical work in neighborhoods, in suburbs, in communities we haven't been part of before. Part of that is because our building is full all the time between our own activities and those of the drama department, but part of it is really the idea that let's break down barriers so that the building isn't an impediment for folks who may feel it's for some reason unwelcoming or hard to get to, or for whatever reason not comfortable for them, that we are out in the community. Recently, we did some new play work at a theater called the Salt Space, which you may have seen in the papers. It's the new theater built by the Near West Side Initiative in what used to be the Case Warehouse building. We'll also be back there this summer, more on that in a moment, but really trying to get us out into the community. We've also done a lot of community engagement events within the theater. There was one day this year that we hosted both the police chief and a graduation program for new citizens who had completed a manufacturing training program. That was the day. It had nothing to do with theater, but that day made me feel like we were hitting all the marks. We had rehearsals happening, but we also had such disparate groups from the region in. We will soon be launching summer programs for the first time in quite a while. We've been on the end of the phone when somebody calls and says, what do you have for my kid to do? And for quite a while, we have said, maybe they'll come with their school to a matinee of one of our productions. We can be doing more. We can be doing really great programming for youth. So this summer, we're launching some programs for middle schoolers, specifically 11 to 14-year-olds. Our team looked around, saw a lot of programs for little kids, a lot of programs for high schoolers, but sort of a gap for middle schoolers. So we will be doing programming at that same theater in the Near West Side, the Salt Space, 2 1-week summer programs for those 11 to 14-year-olds this summer. You can register for 1 week for both weeks. After that, there's a 1 2-week program at Syracuse Stage. So a family could choose to have their student involved in 1 to 4 weeks of that program. It's enrolling now. We're really excited about some of the things it has to offer. But also building on the productions themselves, we are working to identify community partners for each of the plays next season. We dipped our toe in that water this year. If you saw Possessing Harriet, many nights after that show, we had guest speakers, we had panel discussions from different organizations in town. A wonderful partnership with the Onondaga Historical Association in putting that play on stage. The play we just did, Native Gardens, we were able to mirror that experience and had, I think, about 5 post-show discussions. Everything from the Latinx experience in Syracuse, including a post-show discussion with our own B. Gonzalez, to panels with gardeners to talk about the topics of the play. And we want to just open up the experience to being something beyond coming to see a play. But really, if you want to come early, have a drink, if you want to stay late, you know, hear somebody great speak and just spend time in that lobby, we want this to be a full experience for anybody who cares to spend that much time with us. Let me check my notes to make sure I've got my important things. I'll go back to national attention for Syracuse. That production of Native Gardens is something we're really proud of because A, it was hysterical and thematic and great, but it marked the first time in our company's history, and we think for a theater of our ilk across the country that the entire creative team, director, playwright, designers, were all women of color. That shouldn't be as remarkable as it was, but that is getting national media coverage in our field. And so we're proud that our peers are recognizing that that's a thing that should be happening more. And that production is moving from us to Rochester, where it actually opens tomorrow night, and from there to Portland, Oregon, taking that Syracuse name across the country with a really good piece of theater. We've also been introducing a lot of new artists to the community, those who have national backgrounds and folks from within our own community. Part of the Cold Read event this year included adding a local playwright to the mix. New plays, under development, readings, workshops, giving writers the chance to hear their own work out loud for some of the first times. But adding a local playwright and local cast to that just makes it that much more of a key way we can fulfill that community engagement focus. And we're just pushing to expand what we can do, what our impact is, in manageable, meaningful ways. We have not increased staffing dramatically. We have not increased our budgets dramatically. The building has the constraints that it does. But we're finding ways where we can strategically, thoughtfully, and again, manageably, be more of a presence in the lives of more people from the region. That is my side of the aisle. I know our official topic today is next season, about which I'll let my colleague speak, but I wanted to just take this opportunity to give you a little bit of the background of the thinking leading into the season you'll see and into what's on our minds every day at Syracuse Stage. Thank you for your time.
Good morning. Thank you for all joining us this morning. Everybody's skewed this way, and the slides are probably impossible to see if you're sitting back there. But I'm Bob Pupp. As Jill said, I'm the artistic director. Jill and I, you know, have a partnership. We are co-equal executives at Syracuse State. We report up to B and to our board. Between the two of us, we manage a 46-year-old enterprise that has an operating budget of about $6.5 million, about 60 employees on a good day. And we bring about 70,000 people down to the corner of Genesee and Irving every year. And I know many of you have come down to join us over the course of our work, and so we appreciate all that you do to make Syracuse Stage a vibrant part of our community. B mentioned, what a beautiful spring day this is. Tulips are coming up. Our tulips are coming up. I noticed them just the other day. The deer are very excited about that. And so I'm sure that they will enjoy their little stalks for a couple of days before the deer come and have a little snack. So as Jill mentioned, my job at Syracuse Stage is to really sort of curate the artistic side of the equation. We are in the business of creating plays for our community. Our job is to be storytellers. Our job is to reflect and refract our community. We talk about all politics is local, well, all theater is local too. The thing that Jill and I have really come to understand is what a vibrant, exciting place Central Arkansas is to live and to create work. And so our job is to make, did I say something?
Central Arkansas.
Oh, sorry, Central New York. You'd be surprised. You probably think that there's very little in common between Central Arkansas, where I was for 17 years, and Central New York. They are remarkably similar. About the same number of people. Little Rock's a little bigger than Syracuse, but I get the same feedback on the plays. I get the same pushback on things people don't like. I used to think, oh boy, it's gonna take me forever to get used to being in Central New York to do theater. No, I get the same responses that we got in Central Arkansas. It's an odd thing, and you would think not common, but it is. The weather's a little different, but the feedback is very similar. So I apologize for confusing my former employer where I was for 17 years and my home here. 2 months ago, you would not confuse the two places at all. So I want to talk a little bit about the productions, the work that we have in store coming up. And I'll use these slides, even though I know it's tough to see. And I mentioned this is awfully early for an artistic guy to be giving a presentation. So if I forget stuff and mix things up, I'll beg your indulgence. So at Syracuse Stage, when we're getting ready to open a play, the production meetings for that play, the week before it opens, those production meetings start at midnight. So 8 o'clock in the morning is a time of day that few of us actually encounter very often. I want to talk about next season, but I also want to talk about the end of this season. Have any of you seen Pride and Prejudice that's at Syracuse Stage right now? A couple of you. We've got another week and a half. Come down and see Pride and Prejudice. It is not your grandma's Pride and Prejudice. It's a little different, but people have really been enjoying it. And so we've got the Tony Award-winning drama The Humans coming up after that, which is arriving. That's a co-production with the Jeeva Theater in Rochester. One of the ways our business model encourages us to partner with other theaters that are like ours. And so you notice frequently in the last couple of years, and you'll notice next year too, we partner with our friends at the Jeeva Theater in Rochester, and we partner with our friends in Indianapolis at the Indiana Repertory Theater, which is where Curious Incident and A Raisin in the Sun came to us last year. We send things to their theaters too. As Jill mentioned, Native Gardens will transfer to Rochester. It opens this week. And next year, we've got these kind of give and takes, too. A couple of reasons for that. One, the same architect designed all three theaters in Indianapolis, Rochester, and Syracuse. So there's a footprint that works for the design fits in those three theaters. And the second thing is, as Jill mentioned, our folks, our production team, our marketing team, our box office team creates and manages not just the Syracuse Stage six-play season, but also the drama department five-play season. So they're doing 11 or 12, or sometimes 13 productions a year. And so we have to find ways of making their lives manageable because we build everything from scratch. When you come to a production at Syracuse Stage, everything you're seeing on that stage, the costumes, the set, all the hand properties, they were all created by our craftsmen. If you saw Native Gardens, they spent weeks making the dirt that the plants were going to go in, because you can't just use dirt. It's got to be clean dirt that washes out of clothes and doesn't stain and doesn't hatch insects. And so the work that they do is really astounding. And so we want to bring productions with our partners here so that our staff can do the workload that they have to do. You know, speaking of Syracuse Stage is the second largest regional theater in New York State outside of New York City. The biggest is the Jiva Theater in Rochester. And so we want to also partner with peer organizations where scale, pay scale, and such are very similar. And so that's another reason that we partner with these theaters. But you know, the thing that we added to this season was this production that's up on this board right now, which is a musical by Jason Robert Brown called The Last 5 Years. It is a wonderful, what we call musical experiment. It's the story of a couple, and it's the story of their divorce. But one of them is telling the story from the end of the divorce to the beginning of the relationship. The other one is telling the story from the end of the beginning of the relationship to the end of the relationship. So they're telling these parallel stories about their lives. And it's a wonderful musical. But the reason we're doing Last 5 Years is not necessarily because I wanted that musical on our stage, which I do, but because, you know, part of my job is to bring exciting artists to Central New York. I got it right that time, for you guys to experience. And the thing I'm excited about for this production is that it features, where did it go? Am I going backwards? I don't have any idea where that slide went to. I thought it was a slide of my friend Jason Alexander. The thing I'm excited about that production is that Jason Alexander is coming to Central New York to direct The Last 5 Years for us. And why is that? Well, because he wanted to. Because I had worked with him in previous opportunities, and he said, you know, when you're in Central New York, Bob, I want to come and work with your staff and tell stories for Central New York. And so it took us 3 years to figure out a time when his schedule aligned with our schedule, and we could get him here for 3 weeks to direct a play. And the play he chose to direct was The Last 5 Years. It's a play that he's always had ideas about. He wanted to try some new approaches to the musical. And so he's created all kinds of new ideas about this musical. But, you know, part of my job as artistic director is to assemble good stories, and more importantly, the people who can tell good stories. And we think of Jason Alexander as somebody who is famous because of Seinfeld, because he was in a television show that is always in the top 10 most popular TV shows. But Jason Alexander is more significantly a theater guy. Whenever you talk to him, whenever you get to know him, he doesn't talk about his TV shows, he doesn't talk about movies, he talks about theater. You know, he won the Tony Award when he was in his 30s, or actually late 20s. He won the Tony Award for Jerome Robbins Broadway. His life is all about theater, so every opportunity he gets when he can free himself up from a higher profile schedule and higher profile activities is to come and create theater. And so I think you will really enjoy having Jason Alexander here in our town for 3 weeks. He is one of the most accessible, fun guys I've ever had the privilege of working with. We were down in New York a couple of months ago casting Last 5 Years, and we've come up to Syracuse. He'd never been to Syracuse before. And so we wanted to come up and see the town and meet people. And so we had this, between the time of the end of auditions and the time the flight left, we had about 3.5 hours to kill. And so we just went to the Delta Lounge and hung out in the lounge for 3.5 hours. It was very crowded, and you know, people. He's very recognizable, and so people noticed him. And he spent 3.5 hours being nice to strangers. You know, people. I would just sit there, and people would come up and talk to him, and tell. I mean, they would tell him their life story. You know, because somehow that television show had somehow changed their lives. You know, my mom was very sick. We spent our last time together watching your show. These kind of stories went on and on. He was gracious and generous with everybody. About halfway through, there was a woman who had been talking to him for about 15 minutes, and she leaned over. At some point, she noticed I was sitting with him, and she leaned over and she goes, "Are you anybody?" And I said, "No, not really." And the conversation just continued. I know you're going to enjoy the last 5 years. That will be part of our new season. We announced our subscription season just a few weeks ago, and you know, my main responsibility is to craft a season of 6 plays, in this instance it's going to be 7, that make up our annual sort of, you know, storytelling opportunities for our community. The way it works is, Kyle Bass, our associate artistic director, and I spend all year long brainstorming about plays we want to do. We travel all over the country, we meet artists, we see plays, we talk about what would be a good fit for Central New York. We want to have a diverse array of plays. We have to be mindful that we, over the course of a season, we can only hire so many actors, so we have to craft plays, and if this has a bigger cast, the next one has to have a smaller cast. We are particularly mindful of our partnership with the Syracuse University, and you probably noticed that we often at holiday time, the play that we do, the big musical that we do at holiday time, is a partnership with the drama program. So that's kind of the starting, that's sort of the anchor. You know, if you think about a season of plays, think about a shopping mall. So the first contract you have to sign is your anchor store, and then you get your boutique stores lined up after that. So we always kind of start with the holiday show, get that nailed down, make sure that serves the needs of our staff, of our audience, and of our partnership with the drama program. Because when we did Elf this year, 25,000 people came down and saw Elf, and that was a lot of fun. I always say to folks when they come down, except for the age difference, I would defy our audience to tell the difference. Oh, that's the pro who's been on Broadway, and that's the student. When they're cast in age-appropriate roles, our students in the drama program are amazing. Do you know that the Syracuse University drama program is ranked number 8 in the country as the best drama program, and also number 9 for putting graduates in Broadway productions? 9th best in the country, and it's an undergraduate program. So the other programs are graduate programs, and we're putting undergrads on Broadway. It is a remarkable program, and we're fortunate to partner with the university in that work, and you'll see we're really highlighting that partnership this year. And so we begin by looking at a whole array of plays. We talk to our producing partners, because that first show we're doing something a little different this year in that we're starting the subscription season in October. We usually start in September. I'll get back to that. We're starting in October, and we're starting with the sort of American classic 12 Angry Men, and it's coming to us from Indiana Repertory Theater. Why? Because and in fact, I'm leaving in 2 weeks to go out to Chicago to cast this production with our partners at Indiana Rep. Because, as I mentioned about how we want to find co-productions that can come here that we can create with other theaters, when we're doing Beauty and the Beast, which is our holiday show, Disney's Beauty and the Beast, we tried for 3 years to get the rights to Disney's Beauty and the Beast, so now we are finally getting the rights. The reason we couldn't get the rights is because, you remember, last year Lion King was in Syracuse, another Disney product. And Disney does not mess around, and you do not mess around with Disney. So it took us a few years to get the rights to Beauty and the Beast. But it's a big project. And so we really wanted a partner, one of our partner theaters, to create a play that we could bring to Syracuse to free up our staff to work on Beauty and the Beast and some of the other programs the drama department is doing. So 12 Angry Men will start in Indianapolis and then come here. I remember I saw the teleplay. The teleplay was created in 54. Henry Fonda, a lot of people have seen that teleplay. So I believe that even though that play, the teleplay and the script was written in 54, the ideas of social justice and fairness that emerge in this powerful drama are as relevant today, maybe even more relevant today than they were when they were written in 54. That's why Kyle and I thought that 12 Angry Men was a great fit for us. And then I just mentioned, there they are getting at it. And then Beauty and the Beast is our holiday show, directed by Donna Drake, who directed Elf for us last year, and before that, The Wizard of Oz. And so this will run for 6 weeks. We'll partner with the Department of Drama, and inevitably it will be our highest attended show of the year. It pays for other shows like, there's Donna, there's A Happy Cast, The Wolves. This is the play I'm really excited about. Sarah DeLapp, an incredibly young playwright, and we're going to do a couple of different things with The Wolves. I saw The Wolves, actually I saw it in D.C. It had a great run in New York. I think we probably even have, it's a play about a high school girls soccer team. We're going to do it in The Storch, our other theater, so that when you come to see it, it'll be like watching a soccer game. They spend the whole play on the soccer field. It is a powerful drama and very unique, and I know that our audiences are really going to enjoy it. A new director, Melissa Rain Anderson, is going to come and direct that for us. And so I'm excited about The Wolves and about, you know, some plays like 12 Angry Men, Beauty and the Beast, you know them, and that's great. Some plays we like to wrap up in a package and just present to our audience and say, you know, you're going to love this present. And The Wolves is one of those plays. And there's a quote from the New York Times that says it's really an amazing play. And then Amadeus is the only play next season that I'm directing. We're doing it also with our drama program, likewise The Wolves, because there are age-appropriate roles in Amadeus. We did Amadeus about 15 years ago. Jill mentioned the actor Mickey Rowe, who was the lead in Curious Incident of the Dog of the Nighttime. Since Mickey was here, I've been thinking and thinking and thinking, what play could we do to bring Mickey Rowe back to Syracuse? And playing the role of Mozart in Amadeus was that answer. Mozart, even though it's titled play, Mozart is not the lead in the play. The lead is the character Salieri. We haven't cast that role yet. But we're also going to be partnering with Symphoria on Amadeus. You know, when you're doing a play about Mozart that features Mozart's music, shouldn't you partner with the organization in town best known for creating Mozart's music? And so we're very excited to be partnering with Symphoria. We've got a whole array of community partners that we're developing, again, tying into what Jill said about our focus on community outreach. So we're excited to partner with Symphoria on Amadeus. And there's Mickey Rowe from Curious Incident. And there's Symphoria playing musical instruments. Speaking of musical instruments, we follow Amadeus with the musical Once, which won the Tony Award for Best Musical. It's one of my favorite musicals. I saw it 3 times on Broadway. Again, here's another partnership. This play we create in Rochester and bring it here to Syracuse. And Mark Cuddy, the artistic director of the Jiva Theater in Rochester, will direct Once. I love this play. I love the music, the Irishness of it. And so I think our audiences will really enjoy, you know, this is a season where we have 2 musicals. We don't often have 2 musicals in our seasons, but again, this opportunity presented itself. A partnership with Jiva makes it possible for us to do a second large musical in our season. And then there's the winner of 8 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. There's a bunch of dancing musicians. The cool thing about Once is that, you know, the actors play all the musical instruments. There's no band, no separate band. The actors are all excellent musicians. That makes the play very exciting and a lot of fun. And they play through intermission. They play before the show starts. It's really a rousing production. Now, here's a play you haven't heard of. If you've heard of it, nobody's heard of this play, right? What's that?
If you've heard of it, you should work for us.
I know. Well, I should talk more to you. Yoga Play by a new playwright, young playwright, Deepika Guha. And Kyle Bass brought this play to my attention. We were looking for a smaller cast play. We wanted to continue to make sure that women, female playwrights were represented in our season. And we were also looking for a comedy. And he brought this play to my attention. And I mean, I rarely laugh out loud. I find things funny, but the way you would dissect an insect, you know. That's funny. I can see that that's funny. I actually laughed out loud when I read this play. It's a play about authenticity and lavender-scented yoga pants. It's a play about big business. You know, there's another company that at our mall that is very high-end athletic apparel company that this play kind of spoofs. It is a very, very funny play, and it's a great way to wrap up our season. But, you know, I mentioned that our subscription season begins in October, and that's because there's the yoga play hanging upside down. Because we're opening the season actually with a play that's off our subscription. It's a world premiere of a play called Thoughts of a Colored Man. It has been in development for the last couple of years. We're very excited about producing it. It's going to be directed by Taye Diggs. Taye Diggs is one of the most famous folks who will ever cross our door in terms of his profile with television and film and theater. He is also a university alum. It's the first time he's ever come back to work with Syracuse Stage. And this play, this play is what's called an enhanced project. What does that mean? Well, it means that we were initially approached by a commercial producer, a Broadway producer. In fact, the gentleman who just produced a play on Broadway called The Lifespan of a Fact. He approached us and said, we are interested in the commercial life of this project. we are interested in producing at Syracuse Stage. Would you be interested? And we said, we explored it. We saw readings at Arena Stage. We saw readings in New York City. We said, yes, we are interested in exploring the evolution and development of this play. So we're going to be producing this. And what an enhanced project means is a commercial producer comes in and helps pay for the production. And we mount it. It's unknown, so it's risky. You know, nobody's heard of it, so will people come and see it? Well, an enhanced production makes it financially possible for us to produce an unknown play, with the assumption that it will be created in Syracuse. Then it's going to go to Baltimore and be produced at Baltimore Center Stage in Baltimore, and then the expectation is it will move into New York for a New York production. It has an incredibly high profile. You know, you can see Madison McFerrin. McFerrin, it's a very famous name in the music world. She's composing the music, Taye Diggs' name. The designers are all Broadway designers. It is a very high-profile project. And so we're going to open in September with Thoughts of a Colored Man, and it'll run before the subscription season starts. And I know we're about out of a place where we need to start taking Q&A, right? Let's see what kind of questions you guys have. That's the season that we've got coming up. We've got amazing educational programs. We've got a new cold read program coming in. But let's open it up and see what kind of questions you guys. What do you want to talk about?
You got great ushers.
Yeah.
And my brother Jack Clinton and his wife Regina Clinton are ushers, and they love the plays. They love them. He doesn't let me in free though. I can't get in free.
Good work, Jack.
Yes, but he's a good brother. So.
We do. You want to?
I was only going to say that is truly what makes it all possible. We come and talk to you in the morning, but who's really the face of the organization? It's our front of house staff and the volunteer ushers. If a patron had a bad experience with a less than friendly usher, doesn't matter what we tell you on Thursday morning over here at the warehouse. You're absolutely right. It's a core group of about 200 people who volunteer for all the performances and take such great care of our patrons.
Do you have any more pictures on the screen or comments about the children in the summer program that's new?
Yep. Did you know that?
No, but I hope you would.
I think we do. Here's one. We're touring all the Central New York schools next year with a play called Suzette Who's Set to See. We do, our educational program is the part of the iceberg that sits under the water for a lot of folks. We will go across Central New York we create a play and we tour it to area schools in the fall. And then in the spring, we commission a play to be written about an historic figure. And we take that program, it's called Backstory. I guess we don't have Backstory in there. It's called Backstory, and it's usually about a famous, in the last couple of years, an unsung hero in this particular year we're touring. It's about a NASA employee, a woman of color from NASA. And we play that to schools and high schools, and we do that. Then in the summer, we're launching, as Jill mentioned, a two-week program in the Near West Side, and then a two-week program at Syracuse Stage for middle school kids. And then we're going to launch a year-long program after that for kids of all ages. And so that's us dipping our toe in the water of outreach and education programs. But our programs in the schools and touring the schools has been going on for a long time. We reach thousands of kids in the schools, and then we reach thousands more who come down and see special daytime matinee performances of almost all of our shows. Education and our engagement with young people across the Central New York area is essential to our mission, and one that is a real focus of our work moving forward.
There are bookmarks, I believe, if not postcards, about those summer programs available as you exit, too, so you don't have to remember that. It tells you exactly how to register for those programs if you have kids or grandkids or neighbors who might be interested.
Thanks for a great presentation, Jill and Bob. I'm curious about Possessing Harriet. What's on its... Is it going somewhere? Is it going to be produced elsewhere? What's happening next?
It is under consideration at a lot of theaters. It just happened in our theater in October, and usually those kind of works, when there's a new work, it like takes a year to be, because another theater has to see it, has to read it, has to like it. Theaters work about a year, year and a half out. There is a production planned for there was a New York State production planned for this summer, but I don't know if it's been announced yet. So I don't want to. I don't want to announce something that hasn't been announced yet. But there will be a production of it in New York State this summer, and then there are other theaters that are contemplating its future life.
I was very glad that you mentioned the craftsmen and women that work at Syracuse Stage. I am always impressed with the sets and the costumes. They just amaze me. But my question is, I just renewed my subscription, and I was surprised that your pricing model is changing. And given all the outreach you do to reach youth, which is your future, my understanding from the box office is that you no longer now offer tickets for youth under, I think it's under 18, and that you're going to have one flat price for everyone. That's what the box office told me. Is that incorrect?
I'm glad to know that, and I am glad to have the opportunity to correct that with our folks when we get back. There was a subscription price for folks under 40 that has now become the same subscription price as other folks. There are and will, as far as I'm concerned, always continue to be student rate tickets, and we've characterized it as student, so whether you are a kindergartner or a graduate student, it's a student price that's well under everybody else. So thank you for the chance to correct that.
Are also the pricing for, regardless of whether you go on a Sunday or a preview or a Friday night, is that now flat?
It is. We realized on looking at it that through evolution over the organization's 47-year history, we had, I think, almost 25 different subscription price points, and people were baffled. So in planning for next year, a bit of a year of transition, we're taking that to 3 price points, which is, we're finding a lot easier for patrons to take in, a lot easier for our staff to run. Incidentally, I should mention, one thing that we're working on is the idea of loyalty models. Subscription means you get the best price, the most flexibility. Some people have been cautious about subscription because they think you're locked into that, and how can you plan to come to that night 6 times a year? Free unlimited exchanges if you're a subscriber. So come to a different night, bring friends, change seats. All those things are possible, but you're really getting the cheapest tickets that way. Some folks have grown reliant on what they've called rush tickets, which is coming up to the box office the day of the show and thinking that's going to be your cheapest ticket. We are re-examining that. Your cheapest tickets, other than subscription, are the further ahead you buy. So if you can share that message with your neighbors who may have wanted to take advantage of same-day deals, the best way, the most affordable way, is to do it the earlier, even for the big holiday extravaganza, for example. Tickets start at $25 for everything, so it's for most folks, fairly affordable, but those do increase as the show sells better and better.
Just to be clear, on following up on Carol's question, we are long-time subscribers, and we get the Flex Pack, and we were told that we had to select the plays, the dates, and that could not be changed. Are you saying that was incorrect, that we can?
The Flex Packs are going away next year, replaced by that 3-play subscription they probably told you about. You do need to select the titles for your 3 plays. They will ask you to select the dates, but you can always exchange the dates. Okay, I will amend that too. It's a bit of a new system for them, so I apologize for the lack of clarity.
You heard that, the box office?
Yes.
Okay.
We can fix that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It was a call into the box office.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
You do choose the titles, and they will ask you to choose those dates, but you can exchange the dates as we go. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Subscriptions are always flexible. That's you can always change your dates with no penalty of any kind, as often as you need to.
This is great. Our incredible executive assistant Rebecca Grady is making sure we don't forget this stuff as we stand here and tell you.
I have a question. So you talked about how you work with SU Drama. Do you work with any of the other theaters in town?
Well, we have an ongoing dialogue with our friends at Red House. They just named a new artistic director, and so we've sat down with them. Jill meets with management over there. We have a great partnership we want to have great partnerships with all the arts organizations in town. We believe firmly that a rising tide raises all boats, and that with whether it's the Everson or Symphoria or Red House, or any of our wonderful organizations here in town, we believe it's very important for us to be in dialogue and communication, which is the first step towards different kind of partnerships. We all have different business models. We all have different rates and pay scales and schedules and responsibilities. But whenever we can intersect, whenever we can find ways of cooperating and collaborating, that's very important. And so it is definitely something that we continue to strive to do.
All right, please join me in thanking Jill and Bob to come and speak with us.